let's begin. Okay, yesterday we talked about a confusion matrix, and this is the way that we actually test whether our prediction and the actual truth, ground truth, are the same. So we could actually, if there are two class predictions, positive or negative, or one, you know, if you could split into two classes, apple and orange, and you could say, well, I could predict that this is apple, and you turn out to be orange, that would be I would say P, if it P is apple, this is orange, P will be false positive, okay, right over here. And the actual is a orange, for example, and vice versa. And then if you predict an apple and it become an apple, then this right over here, okay? And if it's orange and it turned out to be orange, then this is also good. Now the negative in this context, you know, apple and orange may not be so obvious, but in typical classification, right, you do have what we call a relevant and irrelevant class. And this is what we also have, relevant and irrelevant, okay, relevant, irrelevant, positive and negative. Positive could be relevant, negative could be irrelevant. Okay, so we define these precision and recall. Okay? Precision is TP, true, positive, over true, positive, and false, positive. Recall is true, positive, over true, positive, plus what? False, negative. Okay, TP plus FN, where is that? TP plus FN. So the recall is actually this over this, while the precision is this over this, okay? Precision is this, recall is this, okay? So what we said yesterday was that, okay, so the overall accuracy is TP plus TN, true, false, over everything. So the accuracy in this case will be true positive, and what was it? True negative. These two over the whole thing. Okay? Over the whole thing. So that's the accuracy. The negative ray is defined it so accordingly right there. And information document retrieval. Yeah, I changed this, I think. So that this will be relevant document over intercept with a retrieved document. So this again, it will be the relevant retrieved document divided by the retrieved document. Whereas here is divided by all the relevant document, okay? So we say yesterday again, you can have 100% recall. It's very easy. I just give back your whole database, okay? The whole database contains all the relevant document, right? And the retrieved document. If I give you the whole database, this top is, you know, all the relevant document. And all the bottom will be all the relevant document. So you have perfect recall just by giving you the database. But that's not good, right? You know, that's not good. Okay. Fall rate, we will also talk about this. Fall rate is non-relevant document. Intercepted with a retrieved document over the non-relevant documents. And this fall rate is actually a, well, we talk about it. F measure, as we say yesterday, is combination of the two, because what we found out is that precision is not good enough by itself. Recall is not good enough by itself. So what we need to do is to combine both of them together. And so it's a weighted harmonic mean of precision and recall. This is also what we call F1. F1 meaning that they're equally weighted. Later on, I think I defined it also did I define it? No, I didn't define. Okay. Oh, yeah, right here. F2 meaning F2 measure and weights recall twice as much as precision, while F0.5 measures away precision twice as much as recall. Okay, so you could actually weight it differently and change this value, this beta value, to achieve what you want. Do you want to emphasize more on precision, or you want to emphasize more on recall? Okay? And typically, you want to basically optimize both of these at the same time, right? You want to do this at the same time. But precision, obviously, is what I would do, okay, instead of recall. So what is the average precision and recall? Then the average precision of precision and recall, then meaning basically it is average precision computed after the truncating list. So you basically compute this value at a particular rank. So you say, I only want to look at the top 10. So this at 10, for example, will only look at the top 10 and how good they are, okay, times their relevance, okay, of the relevant document in that thing divided by the number of relevant documents. Okay? So R is a rank, N is a number of retrieved document, L is a binary function on the relevance of a given rank. Okay? So REL, well, I'll give you an example in the next one, then you will see actually how this is calculated. So this one will average over all the queries, because what you want to say is that Google is not only good at one particular query, right? Google is good at all queries. So that's why you want to optimize an average of all. Although previous one, we only talk about a single one, okay? But what we want to do is talk about the average all. So here's an example. If you have a list of 7 documents, okay? Retrieve document as R1, NR2, NR3, R4, R5, NR6, R7, okay? Basically, I kind of cheated. I could have just done this. Document D1, D2, D3, D4, D5, D6, D7, okay? And the relevant function, REL, of that, REL, okay? I could have done REL, a function. And that function will be 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. This is my REL function. Yeah? Okay, so the NR basically means non-relevant. R meaning relevant, NR meaning not relevant. Okay, so what you have is here, you have 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. Relevant, non-relevant, non-relevant, relevant, relevant, non-relevant, relevant. Okay, so that's the REL Boolean function, 0 and 1, whether you're relevant or not relevant. So what you have is this, right? I think this may be wrong. It should be 1 over 4, sorry. This should be 1 over 4. I think I did the calculation wrong. So what happened then is the first position right here, at rank 1, so it's 1 over 1. This one is the fourth position. So it's 2. There are 2 relevant documents within the rank of 4 right here. And then 5, you have 3 out of 5, right? And then out of 7, you have actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Okay? Okay? And so the AP, that number is the number of relevant documents. I'm sorry, this should be divided by 4. Divided by 4. Does it make sense? Okay, you guys look a little bit confused. Okay, so let's go over this again, okay? If I were to give you a query, right, and you give me back a list of things, like I type in Irwin King, and Google gives me back a whole set of, a list of URLs. Okay, so I can make a judgment, okay? I can make a judgment based on what I see, and I will say, okay, this is relevant, this is not relevant, this is relevant, this is not relevant, right? So how do I actually come up with a score that tells me how good my list is? So this is the way that we want to basically tell how good the list is, okay? The way that you say it is this. This right here is the rank. 1, 4, 5, 7. These are the relevant rank, right? And these are actually the number of 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, this number actually will increase sequentially, right? But this one won't, okay? And then you divide it by the number of that thing. So let me ask you this. If this number is high, what does it mean? If this number is high, what does it mean? What does it mean? It's good. Position is good, right? Imagine if you hit every single one. 1, 2, 3, 4. You just hit the first four. What would this be? 1/1 plus 2/2 plus 3/3 plus 4/4. So this is 1, 1, 1, 1 divided by 1/4. It will be 1. Okay, that's the maximum. Because if you have a, so happened the fifth one is a non-relevant document, then you don't add this, okay? And then you will go on. Actually, this one is it's actually interesting. They use the number of relevant document. Okay. Because what they think is this. If you so happen, let's just for example, the first four are relevant, right? And then what happened is that the rest of the five are not relevant, and the last tenth one is relevant again. Okay? Let's have that case, right? What you would do is 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4. And then what happened? 5 out of 10. That's the 10th one, right? So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4.5, okay, and divided by 5. So you got about, what, 0.9 or something like that, right? Does it make sense? So this measurement, actually, is the highest when it's at, what? 1. Okay, it cannot be over 1. Why? Because if every single document is all relevant, and they're all at the beginning, that will give you the highest value, which is 1. But think about it. If they are relevant 1, but then they are further back, what's going to happen to this function? Let's just say first 9 is all not relevant, and the 10th one is. What you have is 1 over 10. Right? And divided by 1/1. So it's 1/10. You got 0.1. Okay? So your list is not as good as someone else's list. Right? So this thing, this measure actually takes the position into consideration. Okay? So this is the reason why it's this. I'll give you two lists. How can you come up with a score that tells me that this list is better than this list? Basically, that's what I want. Does it make sense? Okay. So this will be, again, you could do some study on this. So you could take same query, Irwin King. You type it in Google. You type it in Bing. You type it in Yahoo, right? And select all of them at 10, 10, and 10, the top 10. And then you actually humanly go and judge, oh, this is relevant, not relevant, relevant, not relevant, and so on and so forth. Okay? And then you compute what we call an AP, average precision. Right? Then what the answer that you get, the higher it is, what? The better the search engine is. Okay? So this is just a way to compute that. Does that make sense? Okay? Okay. So we're going to talk about a couple more, but these are some other things that you could use. A map is mean average precision, is average AP over all queries in the test set. Actually, this is the one I was talking about. AP is still not the average of all query, okay? It's still over one query. So MAP is mean average precision, is mean all the queries, okay? This is the one that we're going to talk about. Normalized discounted cumulative gain, okay? Because that is a very, you know, kind of sexy term, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about it because a lot of people actually use this for its measurement, okay? Mean reciprocal rank and so on and so forth. Well, we'll come back to this later. But let's talk about NDCG. What is NDCG, okay? First of all, NDCG is normalized. So normalized is basically just divided by a constant, right? So let's don't talk about the normalized first. We could talk about the DCG. What is DCG? DCG is discounted cumulative gain, okay? So DCG is a measure of effectiveness of a web search engine, okay? As we said right here, often used in information retrieval. DCG measures the usefulness of or gain of a document based on its, its position in the result list. The gain is accumulated cumulatively from the top of the result list to the bottom with gain of each result discounted as lower rank. So basically, it does seem to me that this and the previous method have something in common. Because what this says is this, different from the first method that we used, we only counted how many relevant documents, right? And if you have 10, you have 10. You have five relevant document here, five relevant document here, and then you think that these two search engines are equal. It's not. There is a position in the rank list, right? So this discounted cumulative gain is another way of calculating how good your list is, okay? So the assumption is this, highly relevant documents are more useful when appearing earlier in a search engine result list or have higher rank. And this is so because what Google is trying to do in their query analysis team is that the document that you wanted should appear in the first page, in the top 5 to 10, top 10. If it doesn't, you know, very seldom, in fact, they did a study, very seldom people will look beyond third page. Okay? So how many is that? Maybe 30 of them. Out of how many? Millions. Okay? So if you have to do something, you really need to get push all the potentially relevant one as early as possible, right? But the problem is this. If I type computers, what should be the top 30 that represent the word computer? There's IBM, there's computer hardware, and there's Wikipedia. What? What should be the first 30 things if I give you the word computer? And this is very interesting because this relates to a huge, race to raise their meta ranking in search engines too, okay? So imagine this, if my website, so happens that you type in computer, my website will be the first one. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because everybody will probably click on that and see what that computer is, right? So, but Google, you saw that video too. Google is trying to do no evil. And what does that mean? That means that they didn't bias anyway, okay? I mean, you know, Baidu actually got into trouble a couple years ago. I don't know whether you're aware of this. Baidu got into trouble because it seems like their ranking system has some kind of bias based on people paying them, okay? Paying them, right? So if I pay you, I get higher rank. It's obvious, right? It's obvious, right? Why should I get a lower rank if I pay you? But it turns out that model actually didn't work out well because, you know, you businessmen might think, hey, that's a wonderful idea. You pay me lots of money, I give you higher rank. But you know what? The problem is this, that then what is the truth? Who is the truth? Right? Are you up there because you are really the truth information or because you just pay Baidu, you know, $100,000 so that your things will be up there, right? So you know that Google actually separate this into what? Into the ranking and the advertising, okay? So Baidu actually backed off. I think they tried to inject some of these things, but they backed off because they realized that, you know, integrity and quality, you cannot buy those things. Once you lose it, you lose it. Okay, so they try to stay pure, just like Google. And you do have advertising links up there, and that's another story we're going to talk about it later on. How do you actually recommend those links you know, based on the query that you have. Okay, that's another interesting story, but we could talk about that later. Anyway, so what we hear then is this: highly relevant document are more useful than marginally relevant document, which are in turn more useful than irrelevant document. Okay, so what Google is trying to do is to give you the highly relevant one, marginally relevant one, and obviously some other ones that may be matching the terms, but they may not be relevant. Okay, matching the term may not be relevant, right? Computer, for example, right? There may be billions of documents on the internet that talks about computer, that matches the word computer, but which one are the most critical URLs? And this is why we have to go to like the citation, go into the link thing to do this kind of page rank, okay? But this is, again, not page rank, but this is, again, ranking. Okay, so here is first thing we need to talk about: cumulative gain. Cumulative gain is the predecessor of DCG and does not include the position of a result in the consideration, okay? So all it's doing is summing up its relevance. That's all. The relevance earlier was a single 0 or 1, right? So the cumulative gain, okay, it basically says is this, okay, is graded relevance of the result. The value computed with CG is unaffected by changes in the ordering of the search result. So the first document could be relevant. If I take that and I move up to 10, okay, if I'm looking at the top 10 one, okay, it's the same thing. Okay, so this one basically counts the raw score. Okay, that's it. Okay, so highly relevant document above a higher rank, less relevant, and so on and so on. It does not change computer value. Okay, CG. So people go, and that's not good enough. You shouldn't be doing that. So the discounted cumulative gain, the premise of DCG is that highly relevant document appears lower in the search result should be penalized, okay? Penalized by what? Oh, by the way, earlier here, the higher the number, the what? Better or worse? That the thing is, higher the number is, what do you think? Cumulative gain. So the better, the higher the number, the better it is, right? Okay? Okay, so then the DCG, the discounted, is basically is kind of relevant of the, I guess the first one, plus this divided by a factor right here, log 2, okay? Log 2 of I, okay? So what does this do? What does this do? So what it says this, that should be penalized as greater relevant value is reduced logarithmically proportional to the position of the result. The reason why they didn't do it was starting with 1 is what? Log of 2 of 1 is what? 0, so you cannot divide it by 0, it will blow up, right? So it just did this, plus this, okay? That's all. But imagine, if you just don't even take it to the first one, if you just do this, what is happening here? Earlier, I just summed up the relevant, right? That's it, that's my cumulative gain. But now I divided by this, so would this be more or less than the previous one? Less, obvious, right? And how much less is this? If my I is actually pretty far out, what's going to happen to this value? You're going to divide it by even more, right? So the discount, because this I will be larger, right? So the log of a larger number is going to be larger number. So the further you are out, the more you're going to do that. Now, obviously, I could just divide this by I. Right? That's another way of doing things, too. Or I could do it by I square. That's okay, too. Okay? This function is not a magical function. It's nothing magical about this. But what happened is that you don't want this function to go so quickly. That's the reason why it did it using log. So this I could go a long, long way out. It still will be relatively small. Imagine if you do an I, okay? Log is log I less or greater than I. Obviously, it's less than I, right? But if I do I squared, that's even faster, right? So if I divide this by I squared, basically, after a few terms, this thing is disappeared, right? I didn't want to do that, okay? So I basically use a log, so it's a little slower function that actually get discounted. So when I add this up, basically, it will tell me, give me some sense, okay, of where the positions are. That means something. Does it make sense? Okay? Okay, so the logarithmic reduction factor has not shown any theoretical justification, which is true. Why should this be logarithmic? Nobody really had to say much about it. You could have actually used square root of I. That's another function you could use. Can you use the cosine of I? Yes or no? You say no? Why? Yeah, but cosine is periodic, right? So you get screwed up because then, you know, value further away is bad and then suddenly become good and it become bad and become good again, all right? Don't use cosine. Do use periodic function. The reason why logarithmic or even a square root is okay because they are monotonic. Monotonic, that means that they continue to increase or could they continue to decrease, okay? So that's why you want to do something like that. Okay, so the logarithmic reduction factor, no theoretical justification, but we still use it. An alternative formulation places much stronger emphasis on the retrieving relevant documents sooner using a power distribution. Guess what happened here? Okay, look at it. This factor is more or less the same, right? But this factor has changed. What does that mean? 2 rel I, what is this? What is that? What is this? That's actually going to be huge. Wait, is this correct? Oh, I see. Oh, wait. This is the same thing, isn't it? Because it's 2 raised to 1 is 2, right? 2 minus 1 is 1. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is not the same thing. This is a little bit different. Is it? Oh, wait, I think it's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. Is it? Because this is a 0, 1, 2, right? It's not position dependent. This is the position dependent. This is only the difference is 1 plus that in there. It's very, very minor. I think that is all. You just fold this thing into it, that's all. It's really more or less the same, okay? They took this one out it's because afraid of the one it blows up, right? So you actually basically put it back in there. I don't think it's a shift by a constant at most, okay? Yeah, so the term 2 raised to the L is the gain, but this gain actually, it's more or less the same thing as this, right? Does it make sense? 2 rel I is equal to 0, 1. So 2 to the 0 is 1. 1 minus 1 is 0. And then this one is 2. This is 0 and 1. So you get 0, you don't sum anything up. It's 1, then you divide it by that. So if this is 1, you also 2 raised to the 1 is 2. 2 minus 1 is 1. So it's the same. So I could have just put this here and then just put 1 plus I. Interesting. You get new insights every time you teach, right? Okay, so the normalizing DCG then is the search result list vary in length. So what you want to do is compare search engine performance. Then for a query, the normalized discounted is basically divided by the ideal thing. Okay? Ideal thing. Oh, I know what. Okay. I think I know why this is. Now I understand. The reason why is this. For if your relevance is equal to 0 and 1, these two actually are the same. Okay? These are the same. But if you rank your document, meaning 0 meaning not relevant or very poorly relevant, 1, poor, 2, okay, 3, good, 4, and 5 is excellent. Okay? If you do that, this will be different. Got it? Okay? For 0 and 1, these two actually are the same. Okay? But if you have, say, if you say that, okay, I give you a list, right? Right? A person could rank whether this is relevant or not relevant. That's a 0 and 1 task. But a person could also say, well, you know what? This one is I rated 5-star. And this one I rated 4-star. And this one I rated 2-star, and so on and so forth. If you have that, 2 raised to relevant will be different. Very different, in fact. Right? If you have a 5, this is excellent. Okay? So this will actually push you way out there. 2 raised to the 5th is a big number. Okay? Okay, versus 0 and 1. Okay? So for 0 and 1 case, these two are actually more or less the same. But if you have relevance is not in this range, but you have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then this thing and this thing, it basically what? If you have more excellent results, this one will show up much higher. Okay. But the thing is that this one, there could be cases. Let me think. If you have relevant, if you also do 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you sum it up, right? Could there be cases where you swap these two and it will make a equally difference? What I'm trying to say is that I think this one expand the range a lot more so that you could actually have a lot more values. Whereas this one, they all clumped up together. Okay, so one with, position one with a 3 versus position with a 5, for example. Would that be the same thing as some other arrangement? What I'm trying to say is that this one has a more tendency of cluster together. And this one, because as you expanded it, the range, right, you have a lot more values. That's basically what I think that these two are. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay. So, the reason why then, I understand why I put down this ideal case. Okay. So, normalize meaning this, okay? You calculate the one that you have right here, and you calculate what the ideal case is. What is the ideal case? Let me explain to you. Ideal case is this, for example, okay? So if you type in a query right here, okay, you have document 1, document 2, document 3, document 4, for example, right here, okay? And you say that this one is not relevant. This one is highly relevant, okay? This one is not like this, okay? Okay? Then what you do is you calculate the DCG according to this, right? According to this. And that will be, for example, if we use that, 2 raised to the first, this is not relevant, so we don't do that. 2 raised to the 2, right? Relevant. Sorry. 2 raised to the 5, right? Minus 1 divided by the log of 2, right? Well, 1 plus, okay, plus 2, this one, raised to 2, minus 1, log 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3, right? And then plus this one, 2 raised to 3, minus 1, log 1 plus 4, right? So this is what is what I'm calculating. What is the ideal case? What is the ideal case? Well, you don't have the ground truth, right? The ideal case, given this, okay, is basically what? Anyone? Okay, you don't have the ground truth, but can you tell me what would be the ideal, most ideal case? If I'm giving you these four, what would be the ideal case?
D2 come first.
What? D2 come first, and then what?
D4,
D3, and D0. This is the, D1. This is the ideal case. Okay? Then the way that you would calculate this, right, it would be 2 to the 5th minus 1, okay, log 1 plus 1, right, plus 2 to the 3rd minus 1, log 1 plus 2, plus 2 to the 2 plus, minus 1, sorry, log 1 plus 3, right? Is this always greater than this? Yes or no? This always greater than this? Yes, always greater than this. Why? Because this is sorted, basically, right? So this is always greater than this, and this is the ideal case. So guess what? So what is normalizing DCG? So this is your DCG right here. This is your DCG, right? DCG. This is your ideal DCG, okay? What is normalized? This over this, okay? So that means this. If Google is so good, they always return the correct one. The normalized DCG will be no greater than 1 because this one will be same thing as this one. Okay, but you and I know that Google does not do this like Michael Jordan, right? Which Michael Jordan do you want? Is it Michael Jordan, the NBA player, or the Michael Jordan of Berkeley professors, right? But very interestingly enough, if I give you the word Michael Jordan Berkeley, right, you probably shouldn't give me back the NBA stuff by that single word difference. Okay, so you somehow, it's amazing that the Google search engine could predict what you want using that three words. Okay? And in fact, there are social games, or we're going to talk about this later on, human computation games, where you actually will describe a page. Well, what you think the query should be to describe a page. So if I give you a, let's play a game. If I play a game that says, here is a web page, can you actually tell me what would be the query to get to that particular page? Okay, so this is the game. So you might type da-da-da, da-da-da, so on so forth, da-da-da, da-da, and so on so forth, right? Then you look at the result. You go, oh, yeah, yeah, it's right here, you see? You know, this is the second position, or this is the fifth position, or this is the tenth position. All these positions give, actually, this, although it's a game, but it gives Yahoo and Google and Microsoft feedback on how good their search engine and ranking is, okay? So this ranking thing is very, very crucial in terms of how do you calculate this, okay? So normalized DCG is no greater than 1 because you're dividing by always the ideal case right in here. Okay? So we're going to give you some homeworks. You know, you'll be able to calculate these things, you know, by hand. Very simple, straightforward. Okay? Does it make sense? Any questions? Questions? No? No questions. So, yeah, so, okay, I'll give you an example. D1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you have score between 0 and 3. Okay? So in this case, if they give you like 3, 2, 3, 0, 1, these are the relevant scores, right? Then you can say this is 11. But this is not good enough. Why? Because I could swap these two. I could swap any of these. Any permutation, this score still will be 11. Not good enough, right? That's why we do not use CG, right? So previously, it was like this, right? The log I is like this. The relevant I over this, it will be 2, 1.8, 0.43, and 0.72, and so on and so forth. Now, DCG then is calculated like this, okay? The log is there, so the and this value is that. So you basically sum up all these things, okay? So in some sense, because it's taking position, it is a more relevant. Let's see. Now, if you switch D3 and D4, 3 and 4, if you switch these two, what's going to happen? It will result in a reduced DCG, okay? It will result in that. Okay, why? Because the relevance, or why is that? Because your, if you swap these two, the log of 3 is 1.59, right? If you swap these two, this one will be divided by a larger, I mean, this value will be divided by a larger number, basically. Okay, so it will be a difference. So if you swap those two. Okay, so the normalized value, an ideal value then is 332210. That's a sorted one, right? And then what happened is this, and for DCG S6, it will be this divided by this, which is 0.93, okay? And what do you want to do if you're Google? You want to make sure that this value is as high as possible, okay? Now, how do I actually, it's very interesting, and this is very, very simple to do, but you know what? We're not Google, we can't do it. How do you actually calculate the relevance value? Anyone? This is social computing at its best. How do you calculate that relevance value? Anyone? How do you calculate this value? Absolutely. Click through data. Right? Given the same query, okay? Erwin King, for example, right? How many people actually click out of the 10? Which one did they click? Right? Then I know which one is relevant to the user that clicked those things. And this is the beauty of social computing, is because a lot of thing is afterwards. It's not, we're not trying to come up with a theory, trying to explain this social phenomena, which one it should be. Da, da, da. No, it's not. A lot of these things are actually relevance feedback. You know, because people click this, then that's why it's over there. The flu thing, the flu alert, you know, Google flu alert, why is that? Because people are actually typing in. You know, oh, I see people getting sick. Oh, I feel sore throat. I better learn how do I get a medication for my sore throat. Once you're actually typing in, right, we're just getting those data, right? And we could use that to do prediction. We could use that for our relevance ranking. Guess what? You click what you want, we record everything. Oh, so by the way, be careful, okay? Everything that you do on the web, through Google, they know. Okay? Every click that you do, how long you stay there, what time did you do this, you know, how long did you view a page and all that, they know. And we're going to see how that is actually being processed a little bit later. Okay? So here is an instance that Google wants to basically optimize this to be as close to 1.0 as possible, right? So now they have a ranking algorithm. They give you the list. They observe people actually clicking at various places. Guess what they do? They fine-tune it, right? So if, here's my current algorithm to give you the list of 10 documents. And if I find out that 99% of the people clicked on the third one, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to move. Somehow I'm going to change this so that I move that third one to be the first one. Right? That's the tuning that we don't know what they're doing. We have some guesses, but we don't know because it's a black box right now. Google doesn't tell us anymore. After the 1997 paper, that was it. No more. Okay, everything, there are 200-some parameters that they tune, and they don't tell us anymore. Unless you work for Google, and unless you're willing to die. You know, this is a trade secret. Okay, anyway. So, let's talk about the ranking in information retrieval then. Okay, so the properties of ranking in IR is a loss function should be defined or rankless on rankless with respect to a query. Okay, so guys, there is not exactly the same list. It's really query dependent. It depends on your what you put in, then the output will be dependent. By the way, have you ever noticed in Google, if you change the order, would that change things? Is there Irwin King? If I put King Irwin, would that change things? Yes or no?
Yes?
Yes? No. What do you think? Yes or no? Did you know that? You actually could do something about the words in Google search terms. You could do some pluses, more relevant, and minus, less relevant. Did you know that? No, you didn't. You could. If that's the case, dependent position actually is dependent. Okay? Because you could actually do pluses and minus. So you do Irwin King and King Irwin, it could mean different things. Right? It kind of makes sense, right? Baseball cap. Cap baseball. I'm really looking for baseball cap. Right? Okay? There's a huge thing about search engines. I actually teach that course too. But these are very subtle things. You know, you could restrict the domain for Google to search. Did you realize that? Restrict it to, you know, .edu.hk. That would be all the education institution in Hong Kong. Or cuhk.edu.hk. That only restrict to all the CUHK domain. You could do that in Google. You could plus to be more relevant, minus to be less relevant. You could quote things. In fact, Google, you could actually do expressions. You type in 1 plus 2, it gives you result. You type in define something, guess what? It defines things for you. Did you know that? Okay? These are some of the really interesting things happening with search engines. Okay? Anyway, let's go back to this. So what we want to do is loss function should be defined on ranked list. Relative order is really quite important, position sensitive. And how do you actually evaluate them? Okay, so these are some of the things that we talk about. If you want to talk about this, I need to dive into three different ways, approaches to do this, okay? First is the point-wise approach. Second one is pair-wise approach. Third one is list-wise approach. What are the differences? The point-wise approach basically is a document-based. It converts a document into a feature vector of a real vector, basically, okay? And I'm going to go into that, but what happened is that it becomes, then every document becomes a point in a high-dimensional space, okay? Then what we could do is to do what? We could actually separate the relevant one from the non-relevant one. Interesting, right? Imagine this. You have a cloud in this space, right? Your whole set of data documents becomes a cloud in this space. The question is this. If you're a classifier, if you're building a classifier to say, given a query, can I come out with a separating plane that cuts this cloud into relevant document versus not relevant document? Now, obviously, you know, you type in word Irwin King, that relevant document is maybe very small in this huge space, which is true, right? But imagine this. How does those documents actually relate to one another? How are they clustered in this huge gigantic space? Are really meaning that when they are close to one another, do they really mean that they are actually semantically or syntactically very close? All these are very interesting issues. And we're going to see how much we can do this. Now, pairwise approach, on the other hand, will take two documents and try to do something about that. While listwise will take the whole rank list and come out with some kind of ordering things for you to measure, okay? So again, pointwise is to say that we convert all the document into a single point, that each document to a single point. If we map into this huge space, high-dimensional space, can we actually find a machine learning algorithm or any algorithm that allows us to say this query, this classifier for this query, okay, so there is a classifier for Irwin King. That classifier for Irwin King finds a hyperplane or plane that cuts it in such a way that I could separate the relevant one from the non-relevant one. Okay, that's a typical classification problem in machine learning, okay? And that's what the point thing is. So let's talk a little bit about this. So for the point-wise approach, then, we reduce the ranking to what we call a classification on single documents, or regression. What's a regression? Regression basically, it outputs a value, a real value, okay? Instead of a cardinal value, good or bad or relevant and irrelevant. I could have given you a value, a real value, between 0 and 1. And if you're closer to 1, that means you're more relevant. You're close to 0, that means you're less relevant. Or minus 1 to 1, or something like that, right? So what we have is reduce the ranking to a regression problem. Then what we do is that we're able to perform this machine learning algorithm on a set of documents to come out with values. And so Irwin King, that, whether it's relevant, very relevant, not so relevant, and so on and so forth. Okay? There are two models, generative model and discriminative model. And discriminative, the difference is the generative model is that generative model offers a template, a model, like a Gaussian distribution or something, okay? Whereas the discriminative model here, it basically just finds the function that cuts the relevant document from the irrelevant document, okay? So you treat the relevant document as positive examples while irrelevant document as negative examples, right? Okay, so the learning algorithm I'm going to show you is maximum entropy and support vector machines. So let's dive into that, okay? So we dive into this. It means this. First of all, how do you actually convert a document into a feature vector? Anyone knows? You're giving a document, right? You write your website. Let's just say a website. How do I actually convert a website, okay, into a feature vector? How do I do that? Anyone? Any idea? Okay. Well, everybody has different websites, right? How do I actually convert websites into a feature vector? And how big is that feature vector? Well, it turned out that, okay, there are ways to do it. This is not an information retrieval class, unfortunately. So I'm not going to go into the details, too much detail, okay? But what you could do is this. If I take the bag of words, okay, from your website, I take out all the what we call stop words. What are the stop words? Stop words are those words that are used commonly, like a, and, the, and so on and so forth. If I take all this out, I'm left with mostly important words that mean something, okay? And, the, a, although they are important in the language, they don't mean too much, right? Every document will have an a, and the in there, right? So not very good. Okay, anyway, if I take out all the stop words, I'm left with a bag of words. And I could count the frequency of those things, right? Then I could do is this, is that I union all the bag of words, all union all the bag of words of all the documents. That will construct my super feature vector, right? If your document contains the word Erwin, King, or whatever you have, then Erwin and King will have something there. While if you don't have any other words, you know, you just have a one page that says Erwin King, well, then you just have Erwin and King. That's it, right? That is being non-zero. Okay, does it make sense? Okay, so they are the list right up there basically shows you what are some of these features that we could extract. For example, the first one basically where CWD represent the raw count of word W in document D. Raw count, okay? So what that means is this, okay? If I have Erwin King, Erwin will be counted once and King will be counted another time. And it will be one and one and everything else will be zero. Simple, right? If I have another document that contains three Erwin and five King, then my vector will be three and five and rest of them zero. So you get the idea, right? So every document will have lots of words, and then we're going to fill out those things, okay? But look at this. The feature vector is being constructed is with respect to what? Respect to the queue, the query, not in terms of that. So what you do is you could actually extract how many of the query words are actually matches your document. So if I type Erwin King, if there's a document that doesn't contain Erwin or King, that will be zero, okay? Only for those documents that you actually have in that collection, okay? So let's see now. C represents the collection. N is the number of turns in the query, okay? So some of these things uses N, like right here, and that one, and so on and so forth. That uses that. Now the first one, for example, the query is in the query. I mean, QI is a query in the list of query that you have, okay? Such that I'm only count the raw count of word of Q in document D, okay? So I log all those. So if I have 10 documents, only two of them that contains the word that I want, the query word, then I basically log the number of count of those query words, okay, in that document. And that gives me a feature vector of how close that is. Does that make sense? Okay, you guys look a little bit confused. Maybe a lot confused. Okay, these are actually just six different functions. How do you extract features, okay? The simplest one, I could just count it, the word count of query, okay? So let me give you an example. Maybe it's better to give you an example. Where is my eraser? Where's the eraser? Oh, behind it. There you go. Okay. So you have document one, document two, okay? And this document contains, say, COHK, and let's just say COHK is a word, and Hong Kong U, for example, UST, and so on and so forth, right? And this one contains COHK twice, and things like that, okay? This one contains once, and so on and so forth. So what happened is that the first one, for example, if your query is CUHK, if that's your query you type in, right? Basically, what you will do is you will construct a vector for this one, will be one, it will be log of one in this case, okay? In this case, because you have two, it will be log of two in this case, okay? So basically give you a feature vector about how close you are to this one. Okay, a lot of the times in mathematics, it looks very complicated, but if you explain it, you know, this one, for example, It seems to be a modification of the first one. What does it do? It normalizes it with respect to what? The document, D. Okay, D, okay. This D meaning the number of words in D, okay? The reason why is this. You have three words of COHK in this document versus three words in this document. Are they equally important? Are they? Well, it turned out that in this document, you only have 10 words, and three of them contain COHK. In this one, you could have 10,000 words, and there are only three COHK. Let me ask you this. In terms of these two, which one is more important? This one or is this one? This one. Okay? And this measure right here, that divided by that D, right, gives you some kind of indication. Okay? So you normalize the importance. The first one didn't normalize it. The second one actually does normalize, and so on and so forth. Anyway, what all these things is basically trying to get that feature vector so that you could do something about it. Okay, so don't, because I understand I'm not teaching information retrieval, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. Suffice to say that these are some of the translational function that will get a document into a feature vector, a vector in a high dimension space. Okay, so what you do is you use a vector space model, okay? And a vector of index words. So a lot of times, right, we don't actually use the union of all the words, unique words. We use what we call it the vocabulary, okay? Because Google, how many words do you think are there in Google's vocabulary, lexicon? Anyone? Anyone? It's actually huge. Huge. Why? Because all the acronyms, okay, all the acronyms are all in there. All the weird spellings are all in there, okay. Lexicon is not a dictionary, okay. Lexicon is just all the valid words that people could type in to Google. Have you ever wondered when you type in something and Google say, hey, I think you're talking about this word, you know? That's because they know the frequency of those occurring words, okay? And they're trying to map it to say, oh, you actually had made a mistake. I think it's this word that you want, right? So what is the possibility of words? Obviously, you could say, well, that's very simple. There are 26 characters, right? 26 raised to 1 is 1 character. Raised to 2 is 2 characters. This is all the possible permutation of all the words. But in that huge space, let's just say if it's each word, it could be 10 characters. So you got 26 raised to the 10. Possibility, right? But that's not so, because many of these words don't exist at all. Okay? Actually, the real one is very small. But Google's lexicon is actually really quite large, because they include all sorts of chemical terms and every term that is possible that people actually type in for search. Okay? So their lexicon is very, very large. Anyway, so they build this vector model right there, and each dimension corresponds to a separate term. And if a term, keyword, or phrase, so on and so forth, occur in the document, its value in the vector is non-zero. Okay? The dimensionality of the vector is the number of words in the vocabulary. Okay, so if your vocabulary is a very large one, then you have a very, very high dimensional space. Okay, a document will reside in a point in this high dimensional space. And that's the way that you will build it. Okay, so relevancy ranking then is very simple. I could tell you how relevant you are by looking at the two vectors, the cosine between those two vectors. Right? So I could say, basically, okay, you have the center, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, right? In the high dimension space. To whatever that point is. And I have another document, V1 or V2, or D1 and D2. There are two documents right there, right? I could actually tell, well, how close they are by looking at the cosine angle of these two documents. If that's the case, let me ask you this, right? Can you actually do something? Can you make that query and also a vector? Think about it, right? If it is a three-dimensional space, I could, if I only have three turns in my for my document, okay? I'm only using three turns, CUHK, Hong Kong, USD, for example. And I have 100 documents, okay? And some of them use more Hong Chinese CUHK right here. Some of them use more of Hong Kong U right here. Some of them use more USP words there right here, right? If I want to search for CUHK, guess what? All I need to do is that this defines between two documents. This can also define between a query and a document. Does it make sense? Right? So if I could direct a query to a place, I could find out all the surrounding or nearby documents, yeah, that is close to that particular vector. Okay? So this is the relevancy ranking right here. A very simple one. A cosine value of 0, that means that the query and the document vector are orthogonal. They are totally opposite. Okay? And if they are 1, that means that they are exactly the same. Okay? And this is how you would do it. Okay? Okay, so what happened with the query term does not exist in the document being considered. Well, that's a problematic case. Well, what happened? So you have CUHK Hong Kong UST. You type in Baptist U. What would happen? What would happen? What do you think? What would happen? If I type in some words and I'm here, what would happen? Don't know? Yeah. Actually, you know, let me say, go back to Google again. That's why Google actually uses very, very high dimensional feature vector, right? So if you type in something that's not in their vocabulary, they will say, oh, do you really mean this word or is another word, okay? But the shortcoming of that method is that that feature vector is huge. It could be hundreds of thousands dimension, okay? It's a huge vector, okay? So personally, I don't think that they're processing that. I think they're still using a subset. But then they may be doing this in several stages. They first check the lexicon and so on and so forth and get the most significant words and drop all the words that is very unique, for example, medical terms, chemical terms, and so on and so forth, and they do something else. Okay? So the process is not map, you know, those billions of documents into high-dimensional vector. Just imagine, how could you keep billions of documents using 100,000 feature vectors for each of the document, right? It's very tough. Can't do it. Okay? Okay. So, another way of doing things is what we call a turn frequency. The turn count, okay, is actually very simple. It's just how many terms that occur in the particular document. Okay, so turn frequency is just that. Okay? Now, inverse document frequency, IDF. Have you guys heard of TF-IDF? Have you heard of TF-IDF? Anyone? Okay. It's kind of a ranking algorithm, okay? What is TF-IDF? What is IDF? Inverse document frequency. Inverse document frequency is the D, number of words, okay, divided by the word, the log of that, divided by the D in the, let's see, the number of documents containing the term, okay, divided by the number of all documents by the number of documents containing the terms. So this one gives you the inverse document frequency. So what does that mean, guys? If a word occurs in every document, okay, is that word unique? Well, it's really not unique. I just said before, and, the, ah, and so on and so forth. All those words are actually not a unique word. You could have 10 or hundreds in the document, and they mean nothing, basically. Okay? So what you want to do is you want to balance two things. One is the number of occurrences in that particular document. Second one is how widely spread out of this word in all the document. Okay? That's a balance that you want to do. Inverse document frequency, basically, this is the total number of document in the corpus. This one is the number of document where the term PI appears. If that term appear only once, this IDF will be what? Very, very high. But if it appears in all the document, what would the IDF be? Zero, because this D and this D will be exactly the same. So this divided by that will give you 1. Log of 1 is 0. So this tells you how popular this word is across all the document in the corpus. Right? If this word is contained in every single document, your IDF inverse document frequency will be 0. If you only have 1, then it will be basically log of D, log of number of documents. If you have occurs in this corpus twice, in 2 documents, it will be this divided by 2, and so on and so forth. Right? Okay? So you see that it gets more and more bigger and bigger if you that word's being contained in many documents. Okay? So the final thing is TF-IDF is this. I consider not only the term frequency, how many occurrences of that term inside a document, I also multiply how unique that word is. The more unique the word, the better of this term TF-IDF is. So if you have a document that contains really a very unique word, and many of them, that document is the most relevant and most important one. Okay? You got it? So this is the famous TF-IDF. Okay? That could count all the terms for all the documents. Does it make sense? TF-IDF is for terms. Okay? Okay, so a high weight in TF-IDF is reached by a high term frequency right here in the given document and a low document frequency of the terms in the whole collection. Okay, you don't want a term that occurs in every document. That's not a good thing. Okay? So again, this is another way to calculate using the point thing. I'm not even sure whether I want to go through this. Anybody know the maximum entropy? You guys are not engineers, right? You're a computer scientist. So what happened is that computer scientists don't go through these engineering mathematics, maximum entropy. Have you actually taken some of these things, maximum entropy? Okay. I'll tell you what. I probably will skip it, okay, for the sake of time. I'll go into some other difficult topics. Okay, so let's assume, as I said earlier, right? Earlier I said, if you could map your document into, first of all, you extract a feature, okay? And then you map into a dimension, let's call it, okay? One of the ways to do is to use neural networks or machine learning. And what that is this, I want to know the relevant one from the irrelevant one. Given a query, I want to know, because these things could be not this particular distribution. If I give you another query, another query would be somewhere here, right? And here, it could be. I don't know, okay? A support vector machine constructs a hyperplane or set of hyperplanes in a high dimensional space, okay? This, I'm showing you 2D. And I want to get a 1D line that separate these two things, right? Earlier, what we talked about, you know, the confusion matrix is this. Obviously, this particular line works, and this particular line also works, correct? Because this line will separate this from this. This line will also separate this from this. But let me ask you, which line would be a better choice? Is it this line, red or blue? Red? Anybody say blue? Raise your hand if you say blue. Nobody want to say blue? Why? Well, how come nobody want to say blue? The blue is equally good. Why do you not want to say blue? I'm curious. Why? Why? This is equally good, guys. Okay? Why? This one cuts this from away from this. So why is this not as good as this? And you guys are so convinced. You guys have no mathematical background, but you're so convinced that that is true. Why? Why? What do you think? What do you think? Why? Why? Why?
If we divide it by the red line, it looks kind of symmetric.
Yeah. Symmetric? Okay, you feel better. Oh, I feel better. It looks better. But I like the color blue, though. So I think blue line is better. No, actually, okay, one other thing is this, right? In a lot of time, the measurement is not exact, right? Not exact. That means that when I give you this point right here, is it really that point? Or is it really, if there's an error, if I draw an error right here, okay? If I draw an error for every single one, because, you know, when I take measurement of things, right, when I actually extract these features or whatever, it may be not exactly right because the input may have some error, my algorithm may have conversion has some error, and so on and so forth, right? Does it make sense? So if I have error right here, right? So what would happen? If I do have error right here, that means I could be here or I could be here. If that's the case, is the blue line good? Maybe not. Because the error here for this one maybe is right over here, right? Okay. So we conclude that it's not so much a symmetric, but we want a line that goes through with the largest space that is possible. Why is that? Because the largest space allow us to make errors without too much penalty. Does it make sense? If it's this, right? If I make an error right here, right, I will be penalized because then I'll be misclassified something. But if I do it this way, I could draw even a bigger error right here, and this will still will be okay. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? It makes sense, right? So if it's this again, if I draw this thing, oh, I should not draw it very big because it's going to be on the opposite side. But if I do it this way, I could draw a very big error for every single one, right? So what I want to do then is this. Support vector machine basically this. This is two-dimensional. I'm trying to use 2 minus 1, which is one-dimensional, which is a line that cuts through these two, such that I will maximize the space between these two classes. Okay? So if we do that, then the ranking or the relevant-irrelevant function basically is this. I'll give you a lot of query and document. I train it for you. So I get Google could click on this thing. So I get basically feedback, right? So I get a query, and then I will come out with a function that cuts, okay? So that I know the relevant one that I should return and the irrelevant one I should return. By the way, out of these, right, which are the relevant and which are the irrelevant? Let's just say that these are the relevant and these are the irrelevant. Even that this is relevant, which one should you return and why? Which one should you return? This one? This one? This one? Which one should be the first one? Probably the largest distance from this thing. You got it. Okay, so if I train my machine learning algorithm, okay, based on the fact that each one of these is a feature, right? I train it in such a way that I could cut this properly, then I have a rank, kind of like a ranking algorithm. And that's what the point approach using support vector machine will do. Okay? Does it make sense? So I'm giving you a very high level concept. Okay? Okay, so gosh, should I go through this?
Why? I don't know why the last transition one is the best.
This one? Oh, because it's the furthest away from the...
But it is a really cut line.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so give me another algorithm that will give me the ranking.
Vector is
what?
It's not sorted by rank, so...
Right, but it's not sorted by with respect to the origin, but it's respect to the boundary. It's almost like, you know, country, between country and country, you fight, right? Where's the safest place? Well, furthest away from the border, right? So you want this one to be maybe the highest rank. If I were to say most relevant or most safest, you would probably give me this, right, versus this. The reason why is this. For what we think is that for those points are actually closer to the boundary, those are iffy points. That means that they can be classified as irrelevant, right? And this one is for sure that it should be relevant. This is most relevant. And then this is kind of relevant, but it's so close to the boundary, you really are not sure. You really are not sure. And that's the reason why. Okay? Now, there are other methods to do it. Another method, very simply, is I could cluster this. I find out the center, which is this one. And then I go out from the center and do that. Right? So I would do this. I will find an average of this thing, and I will use this as my highest rank, and then I will propagate like a concentric circle, right? Go outside. And that's okay too. That's another way of doing things. Okay? But in reality, I have not tried, so I would not tell you which one is better and which one is not. Again, this is a... Oh, by the way, this could be another project if you want to do this. You want to explore this in more detail? Hey, don't laugh, man. This is what we do. This is research. Okay, you could actually go into this. Okay? It's another way. I tell you what. I know my time is up, 12 o'clock, right? Because we didn't take a break, so we're gonna end this. This is actually a very interesting topic, and it could be a little difficult. So why don't I stop now? We'll come back again next week. We'll continue. I want you to digest what we say today. I'm going to put this up on the website this afternoon. Okay? So you can actually download it, print it out, and see some more. I'm going to put also other related references on the bottom of the course page so that you can actually know a little bit more about how the machine learning technique to do these rankings. Okay? And any more of this? No? Okay, you guys. Thank you. I'll see you guys next week. Okay? Ciao. Yep.